My name is Benny Anderson. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And tonight I will be talking about disabled people within the church and within the community that we live in. To begin with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. Be with us as we struggle with many, many tough questions about why and why not. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of the kingdom here on earth. Amen. I did actually have the notes that was I did 2 years ago on the topic, so I'm going to use them. Last night, part one, we deal with myth and realities about disabled people within and without the church, within and out of the church. And we got into a discussion about what do you do, how do you reach people that want to build a wall around them. And we had some dialogue about that whole how to communicate with people that probably don't want you to come into the private life. How do we get into that private prison to allow them to know that we care for who they are? Tonight I wanted to talk about why the church needs us and why we need the church. My book comment is that I do not know anything but the church. I have been raised up within the church all my life, even though I sometimes wanted to deny the institution, because the institution wanted not to deny who I was, because I don't fit into the norm of a prison that have everything together, and that become a threat to a lot of other people. They do not know how to deal with somebody with my like who I am, because I'm so outgoing and so outspoken that I become more of a threat than a lot of people want me to be, especially within the church. I've been asked to go home a few times. But because they don't know what to do with us. They talk about words. They try to fit us into a category all by himself. and think of one comment that I heard was, why don't them handicapped people go home and find another church? Because we don't want them. Because they make noise. They look funny. And that was a pretty sad situation. It was a congregation that I have done some work into before that happened. And it was the mentally handicapped people that wanted to belong to that congregation, but the folks did not want to welcome them because they make noises. If their church do not want, disabled people, the mentally handicapped folks, then the church should not be a church at all. Because the church, the way I understand, talking about the church is a hospital for people that are sick, that need that kind of fellowship, that need that kind of forgiveness, and that kind of building up for who we are. My theme for the next year is a traveler's leadership within the congregation. I think we live in an age where we are going to see more and more disabled people coming out into the church and beginning to show them leadership about what gifts they may have to offer. My hope is that the rest of the cold-court non-handicapped people will welcome them into the midst and allow the Spirit of God to move out of them so that they can become people that can serve on church causes, and people that can serve as maybe a handicapped person someday would be the president of your congregation. I think that a positive pull, because what happened is that within the last 20 years, we are beginning to unlock some stuff that medical people did not know when I was born. That disabled people have higher IQs than the average person. I don't say that all physical handicapped people have that, but it been said, told that disabled people, physical handicapped people that were born with a physical affection is, and the more part, more mentally capable than the average person called. And I I only want to put them in quotation because of what I said last night, that we all are handicapped and we all have our limitations. If leadership is the way that we go within the congregation, then I think we need to do some sensitivity among the congregation to help the rest of the people within the congregation to understand that they can trust us. I think we need to be equipped to hit some hard walls. But keep on moving through, keep on working towards the goal of getting in. Because I really believe in some cases, different people are going to be called to serve in leadership, maybe even in another hour with a new church. I am very glad to see the remarks in the Latins and Senators about the bishops and the president allowing the labor people to go to the seminary again. There was some crescent, there was some conversation about the capabilities of the labor people at that point. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, I would invite you to look at the new Lutheran Standard that this came out and read about that. That was a great statement. That was a liberalism statement. That allowed the able people the right to become who they can become. I think the able people, your handicap, it really, the terminology of handicap and disabled can be interchanged. Like I said last night, that for the people that were not with it last night, that the word handicap came from what?
England.
What did the word handicap mean?
Hand with a cup.
Yeah. Hand with the cup. What did the word disabled mean? Not unable. So both terms are probably probably very incorrect to use. And we need to someday maybe come up with a different kind of language to use for our brothers and sisters that have to be disabled within. Of a community than within of a churches. Also, yeah, that night I said that the church become a threat to the disabled population. I do not know what the percentage is of disabled people that do not go to church, because I didn't know that it is very high. Because at one friend told me in North Dakota that I had CP, that he would rather be a Buddhist than a Christian, because the Buddhists treat him like human beings. And that was sad for me to, hear, but I can sympathize with him at that point. Talking to Gary in Iowa a couple years ago on the topic of the church. She hadn't been to church for 10 years. Because she finds that every time she goes into a church, that people look at her like, who are you? Do I really want to get to know you? It's amazing. We are just human. We need to begin to understand each other. I can't damn the church for doing that. I pray for understanding that people within that church begin to become aware of people that are disabled in the midst. Churches ask me, how do we become, how do we get disabled people back into the church? I think we who work in the church, work with our children, need to go out and reach and be with the disabled people for who they where they are at and where they work and where they hang out at. And then invite them in, build up a kind of relationship between the church and the disabled population. Don't invite them in and just leave them alone. Build a relationship so they can trust. They can trust and see the function of the body. And that last name, touch a little bit about that, and it takes work, it takes time. If we are concerned about vandalism, we must also be concerned about people that we haven't really kept track of. That is so interesting. They do not need to be committed to Christ. They need to be convinced that in congregation they're going to love them and accept them for who they are. Handicapped people do not need to be converted to Christianity. They need to know that the congregation will accept them and love them for who they are. I think that was very clear, isn't it? Because the folks that I know is somewhat skeptical about who we are. And since I desire to work among the church, I become a question mark to the other disabled folks. Comments like, Benny, why do you work within the church when you get so much to offer within the lobby force? You're within community development. You're within crusades against different things. And my remark is that there's enough radical people running around out there. But there's not enough radical people that have handicapped that is running around among the church making noises. And I really feel called to that kind of work. Because I wanted to be a minister ever since I was a little kid. But academically, that was not feasible because I told you this story last night, but for the people that were not here, they did not discover me until I was 18. And that was too late for some academic stuff that I had to go through. I don't know anything about history. People like I mean, don't you know anything about geography and history and math and all this stuff? And it's enough because I was put into a special ed class. Everything that I have know have been outside, have came, have graduated. In listening to people and talking to people and to being part of being a part of community. Is there any questions at this point on things that we have covered? Yeah.
It's not a question, but you seem to be researching for a new word. And last night you were saying, well, we don't like to, stereotype or put names on people. But how about disadvantaged?
I get kind of nervy about what that would really mean, because I have a lot of short tail stuff hooked onto it also. Some of my colleagues in Minneapolis like to use the word, but I never really understood how they define that word. Maybe it is okay, but I'm not going to use it until I'm really comfortable with it. I hate labels. I was caught in a hung last week when she said, labors belong on jars, not people.
Benny, this is not fair, maybe, but could I ask you a personal question?
Sure. I may not answer.
That's fair enough. When you were invited to go home, why did you come back? Lots of people, myself included, if we would be invited to go home, would say, well, if you don't want me, I don't want you.
Because I never give up. I never give up. Because they are fighting against everything that I'm about. And if I'm going to be a part of making the church aware of disabled people, I would get hit many, many times, but I can always go and watch back at them. Yes.
Was it, are you allowed to be a leader in your church now, Benny, in your congregation?
I think my congregation understand what I do and accept what I do. I'm not there too often. I probably make it four times a year. Yeah, I'm not a very good church goer, but they understand where I'm at. I mean, different congregations, different situations on Sunday. A couple years ago, I was the chairperson for the handicap committee within my church. They really do accept the kind of leadership that I'm about, yes.
Did they ask you to go home because they didn't like what you were saying or didn't agree what you were saying with?
I think at the time I was more of a threat to them. They did not want to hear what I had to say.
I see. Yeah.
It was new. Handicap awareness among the church is pretty new. I think I kind of broke the ground in the late 30s when I came to the AAC and asked them about, yeah, in fact, I was interviewed for the job with AAC to be the handicapped specialist on staff. And that was, the way I understand that, that was the beginning of the handicap office within the Church of the Lord. So I've been kind of in the outside side ever since the AAC got organized. So I've been making noise for a long time.
Congregations and speak. Do the congregations where you go, they pay your expenses and so forth, like for coming down. Is that the way your ministry is supported?
Right. Privately, we did get a large grant from the AAC office first 2 years of operation, of a grant of $10,000 to get some stuff organized, and then we get on church budgets. We got about 25 congregations and right now that have given us anywhere between $600 to $25 a year. So, and we try to build it up as every year. Yeah. It gets tough because it's other non-profit organizations that is. So we try to get into some private checkbooks. like the gentleman who was talking about last night, he was going to give me a blank check. But after he was talking to his wife, she said no.
When you go to school, you go to public schools, do you, Danny?
Yeah, I have done some stuff in public schools. I began in a public school, public speaking. When I was out in North Dakota, I was the coordinator of handicapped services for the mental health center as a person who did a winter between institutions and family stuff. So, and that was a whole new tribe basis than the governor cut the buzz so bad that I was the first one to be let go of the new project. But yeah, I have done a lot of public and private institutions.
I think it's really, really important for public school children, young or older, to find out that you are able people, you know. And in a church, there aren't as many people probably. Maybe we should be more aware. But I was a teacher in school, and that's the hardest thing, to work with other children, to have them accept a child or a student who is different as being one of them. You know, I'd like for them to find out about people like you, you know, what's inside. Because children are very judgmental also.
And tell you the story, then I would get back to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would tell you that it happened. Oh, Brother Black, and Brother Black away from where I live and going to bed. I have coffee there every morning before good time begin my day. The little boy came into the restroom and he was washing his hands like his father told him to do, and all at once he looked at me and he said, "Look, why do you talk funny?" And you know, I get all kinds of questions like that. Even from grown-ups, but I'm not as nice to grown-ups than I am to kids. I kind of explained to him in a very simple way that I have some pause. He went on and did his thing. He looked up to me as he opened the door and he said, "Sir, I hope that I don't bother you no more, but I want you to be able to do, I want you to be able to talk like I do some day." The cute story, I played with it. I wrote that out because I figured that someday I may want to use that in a book that I probably want to write someday about how kids, little kids, responded to their folks. Ever thinking about that, I began to be really sad. And that little boy really thought that everybody should be the same. And there was no uniqueness. There was no, that in his mind, there was no room to be different. It is okay to be you, and you, and me, and you. It is okay. God loves us. God accepts us. What are you? Yeah.
Yes, I was just thinking, our daughters who grew up in Seattle and went to the public schools there, we're very fortunate. This is like 15 years ago now. In the grade school they attended, there were 3 classes for special education. But those youngsters were on the playground with the kids. So they learned them to know them there. And then also those who wanted to were invited to come into the classrooms and they did some tutoring and working with the kids. And they got real attached. I remember a little Lisa who had to go to the hospital and I was working in the hospital then. And they said, "Mom, be sure and look her up, and she's so special and all." And I, frankly, had a hard time understanding her and all, you know, and getting to know her, but they just thought the world of her. So it was good training right from 6 years and up.
I'm totally convinced, and I speak to say that because I really, truly believe this. Any kind of awareness needs to be done by somebody who is a consumer. I don't care if it is an alcoholic, if somebody that's been divorced. It needs to be done by somebody who's been through their whole dilemma. It's interesting how many people in this country doing the handicap awareness that are physically handicapped compared to people that are doing handicap awareness that are not handicapped. And I have nothing against them, but I don't. Everything they know is book knowledge. I'm not talking about brothers and sisters here, mothers and fathers of handicapped children. It really amazed me that, yes.
Benny, I referred to it last night, but again, I have to speak of Mount Cross, which is in near Santa Cruz, and what the work they're doing there since you were offered a job in that particular situation. But seeing as how they were paying you more money back in Minneapolis, you couldn't accept that position. For the last 9 years at least, and the executive director is also handicapped. Person in charge of maintenance is also handicapped. But they've always taken between 20 and 25 youngsters every weekend to camp, along with the other approximately 135, 150. Now these are all different kinds of youngsters, whether they're retarded, whether they're mongoloid, whether they're CP and so on like that, as such. And they've integrated them, but the staff is, before the season ever begins, they're all oriented to the fact we are going to accept them and love them and so on like that. And seldom, if ever, do we ever get this, in other words, somebody say, hey, who's that? Why does he speak funny? Or why can't he walk on his own feet? Why does he need help? Or why does, and so on like that. Because of the love that these children coming from Christian homes can show to these people. And boy, do they ever need love. And seldom have they ever had a lot of love from an average youngster or somebody who is an outstanding youngster, and from adults and so on like that. And what a tremendous difference that makes, because in a couple of cases, we've had youngsters come from certain areas, from homes and so on like that. Year after year, from public schools especially, says we bring them down here because this is one place where they do receive that love. I just wanted to cite the fact that here's a place where some of our Lutheran congregations and synods are, shall we say, grouping together and trying to do this type of job, but it's one way. Everybody has to be aware, everybody has to be alert, and all people are accepted, and also they're put to work. They employ these people. In other words, if the youngster is able, they'll also employ them, whether it be on the grounds or whether it be as a counselor. The last couple of years, I think I mentioned to you, we had the counselor who was a wheelchair counselor, who was a CP, and he was excellent, but he needed somebody to help him just to go to the showers and so on like that. But he was paid the same as the rest.
I think more and more Bible camps are getting into awareness, getting people that are physical handicapped on staff. I know myself, I've been on staff at Wapa Catholic Bible Camp, which is a camp that is owned by 35 congregations in the Southeast District of Minnesota, and I've been on staff there off and on for 3 years. And so I think that come back to the leadership rule, I think you see handicapped people springing into citizen rhythms within your community that 10 years ago you would never see. If I were to try to do what I try to do, if I tried to do what I'm doing now 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, I would have been shot out of my salary faster than I got in. Because disabled people were not being seen too often. Any more questions?
How long have you been in this ministry? I wasn't here last night.
Too long. No. I began in 1978 with the present one, and I was I've been doing a handicap awareness since 1974, but I've been the executive director of Breakthrough since 1978. Handicap awareness has been very part of the history of my family. Most people don't know the history of the deaf school in Washington that was donated by my family way, way back in the 1800s. It kind of doesn't draw to see that. I didn't know that until my father was one day saying, "Oh, by the way, you know, the school in Washington, the land was given by my great-great aunt." And I, you know, yeah. So I guess some works on handicap awareness that was a deaf, my aunt that is way back maybe 4 or 5 generations with deaf, and decided to donate a lot of money to begin a deaf school. So this, I'm grinding into some, you know, work of the kind of work. I didn't know that until we were talking to my father and trying to come up with who did what back when. Kind of interesting. Yes?
Just from the operational standpoint, it seems to me that, you know, this is a massive job in terms of getting down to individual congregations, individual communities. What organized approach do you suggest? You know, if there were a lot of well-trained people, gifted people like yourself who could fill slots in communities, and if there were an accepted definition of a slot that they could fill, one could see how this could happen in something
like... You give me the money, and I got the people.
But what do you suggest at an organizational level? I mean, how many churches have committees addressed to this?
Oh,
And, you know, in order to have some organized approach that's going to get this down to the grassroots, there has to be, I think, some kind of a plan that would bring it all about. And I'm just wondering what you suggest there.
I think you need to go and to your congregation, to your concert, and talk about setting up a handicap committee within that, them setting up committees. Like they have a committee on poverty, you have a committee on budgets. There should be a handicap committee that plan awareness programs, they would also be in charge of trying to integrate disabled people within the congregation to become more knowledgeable and so on and so forth. I belong to the biggest AFC congregation in the country, I believe, Calvary Lutheran in Golden Valley, and it's tough. I think we have a membership of 6,000, something like that. And it's tough, because with committee you need to get volunteers to be a community. And is it tough to get volunteers? You think it'd be easy to get volunteers within a big church, but it ain't. But you did need to work on trying to set things up, and if it don't work, maybe organize it in a different way until you get something that click. You know, the congregation that I belong to had a handicapped person on the building committee when they began to think about a new church. And that handicapped person would consult when they would putting together the physicalness of how people were coming in and going out within that sanctuary, and you know, the eyes of we have eyes lying there so a wheelchair can sit any way up and down the aisle without somebody tripping into it, so the aisles are really wide. Yeah. Now the doors are wide, yes.
We don't have the aisles that way, but since the church was built years and years ago, but they did a rather simple thing in taking out half of each pew in the front row so that then people could sit with husband and wife together and that sort of thing.
That can
and not have to be crowding the aisle and being fire hazard and all that.
Some churches are technically impossible to remodel. They need to compromise and do something like that. And Cadavis College in St. Peter, Minnesota, which is a AZ college, the only building, the old main that was built in was 18-something, was strong enough to put in a elevator in it. That was surprising. I was invited down to that, and they showed me the elevator, and I was kind of surprised because there's some churches within Minnesota that always try to argue with me about, we have 110 years old building and we can't put in the elevator. And that it can't be a cover dependent. And I'm not a engineer to make them decisions, but I think if you can't get in there looking at a elevator, you may want to check along to a different kind of engineering to look at the structure of your church to see if your structure is, let me say a few things about the architecture within a church. The AAC organized a handicap, not a convention, No, in the Kansas City. What was that?
Consultation.
And the front cover of the program, remember the front cover? It was a church with steps coming, going up to it, and the other side it was a ramp going up to it. Like I said last night, the church building itself, the structure, become a threat to people that are in wheelchairs. Because they do not want to be helped. They want to be able to come to worship on the Lord. They do not want to be carried upstairs. So the guy looked down at their church it seemed like about 110 steps leading up to it. That person in that gonna turn around and get back into his automobile, his automobile, and go home. He goes somewhere else. I know a church in Minnesota that is so old that you blow on it, it would move. But we got a ramp into that church. Even building the ramp up to that we were going to make the church fall down is an old congregation. My grandparents, I think my grandparents were married there back in the late 1800s. But it's so funny that basically, the ramp is a piece of steel with a bunch of holes in it. So ladies that are walking up with high heels need to take them off so they don't get caught in one of them holes. But anyway, here we go. That is kind of funny. Is there any other questions before I try to close it up?
Is that the only thing about church architecture that you have to say?
Ramp.
A ramp? What else might be involved in church architecture that would facilitate handicap
use? You can try. The interview would be fantastic
if you're all on flat, if you're all on one surface, why that you don't need.
I think then we need to look at your bathrooms. Are they the doors wide enough? I think they need to be 42. I think that I can't remember. It depends on what site you are in. What thick coats are, and they change every day, so, yeah. Let me run down a list, thank you for reminding me, run down a list about some architecture stuff that you could do within your congregation. You don't need to be right. Your bathroom, within your bathroom, there should be a toilet high enough where a person can be transferred very easily onto the sewer from the roof shell. Within the center, within the main part of the church, there should be room enough for a wheelchair to be there, and I think a congregation should have somebody sign in at all times for the people that are deaf that want to come to worship. We talk about ramps, we talk about elevator, the bathroom situation.
What about the altar? Do they
want
to come to the altar?
It depends on if you are a new church or an old church. Most people get very uncomfortable putting a ramp on the beautiful marble steps. They get very nervous about that. In fact, some they don't do that. Normally, when the minister do, they would carry a communion down if that person cannot come up to communion. And I think that is really a good thing. I would like it to be the other way, but I think that is fine with us as written.
More comfortable.
Yeah.
They go to the front row in our church, you know, the...
Well, I have seen churches going black, these bummer going bombing and trying to get all the handicapped people in wheelchair to sit and back in front. Then I need to be sitting front your back with them. And I was there, like my mother and dad always have, you can only tell when they are not in church by their space. Sitting by Johnson and whoever sat on the other side of the even Sunday. Because they sit in, you know, when I was a little kid, nobody sit where we didn't move around in the church. We had the end of the section. Yeah. I need to wind on it. We only got about 5 minutes. Couple of things. I think it's been very good being with y'all. I think you brought some interesting concerns tonight and last night. I think we dealt with some things and concern about our attitude, about attitudes, about how we confront people, what to do and what not to do with people. I hope that what we have talked about here can go home within your congregation and maybe try to become more aware and help your congregation to become more aware of disabled people within your midst. Maybe go home and talk about maybe getting a handicap committee going within your church to deal with some of the attitude, the architecture stuff. I think it would be a very good, I would like to see every congregation in the country have a handicap committee to be able to deal with the everyday things that go on with disabled people in the life of that congregation. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of your